How many times, let me rephrase that. Have you ever been watching the news and just gotten angry at what you heard? Just gotten angry. How many out there has gotten angry while they're watching the news, right? How many out there have gotten angry just watching TV in general, some of the sitcoms, and it's like they're trying to make improper lifestyles seem normal. It's normal. It's normal, right? No. I don't know about you, but I really become angry. In fact, my wife has tended to call me, "You're an angry man." You know? And whenever I hear that, I kind of think, but actually, that's what we're going to talk about today, anger. You know, now, you might go to a grocery store in the parking lot. Parking lot's busy. One spot open. And somebody comes and darts in front of you. What do you do? I don't know about you, but I get angry. I really do. Now, another one of my pet peeves is going to the doctor. Right? You go to the doctor, and finally, they bring you from the waiting room back into this exam room, and they tell you to sit down. Doctor will be right in. 30 minutes later, finally, he shows up. And you're sitting there thinking, I don't know about you, but I become angry. Anger. Angry. Now, let me ask everybody a question. Has someone ever made you so angry? So angry that it ruined your entire day. You couldn't shake it. You couldn't shake it. Might have lasted an entire week. You might still be holding that grudge today. And think about that. Has anyone made you so angry that you just couldn't shake it? You know, there are uncountable reasons for you and I to become angry. And we don't have anywhere near the time today to cover all the reasons, because there's just so sometimes there's no reason to become angry. And sometimes my wife tells me, "What are you angry about? Doesn't make sense." You know, and sometimes we do that. We become angry for no reason whatsoever. So, what happens to you and I when we become angry? You might be surprised. You might be surprised. What happens to us? You know, brethren, today we're going to look at what anger does to each one of us when we experience anger, even little anger, what it does to each one of us, both physically and emotionally, and more importantly, spiritually. It can really affect our spiritual life. Anger. Anger is one of those topics that it's covered in the Bible all over the place. It tells us don't be angry. Slow to anger. It tells us a lot of things. We'll go through that here in a minute. The title of today's message is, "There is no peace with anger." There is no peace with anger. Now, I want you to think about that title just for a few minutes. When you're angry, is there any peace? No. You're keyed up. You know, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of emotion involved when you get angry, even a little bit. And we'll touch on that. So is it a sin when you and I become angry? And I'll give you the short answer. No. Yes. That's the way it is. Anger can become sin very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. Now, I don't want you to turn there. I'll read this from my notes. Psalms 4 and verse 4. Psalms 4, verse 4. And this may sound familiar. It says, "Be angry and do not sin." Be angry and do not sin. It says, "Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." How many times do we do that? Just chill out. Okay? Get rid of the stress, get rid of the anxiety, get rid of the anger, the frustration, whatever it may be, and we're just still. Do we do that regularly? We need to be. And again, I'll read this from my notes, Psalms 37 and verse 8. Psalms 37, verse 8. "Cease from anger." Stop it. "And forsake wrath." Now, listen to this very carefully. "Do not fret. It only causes harm." that only causes harm. Anger, stress, anxiety, these emotions, they do things to us. They do things to us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So the big question is, how can we be angry without sinning? Let me tell you, it's really tough. It's really tough. But there is a way, brethren, there is a way where we can be angry without sinning. We keep our mouths shut. Too many times, you and I, at least I'll speak for myself, I open my mouth and I spew out anger. I mean, and it's, I do it subconsciously. I'd say unconsciously, but that wouldn't be right. Subconsciously, I do it. I get angry, and sometimes I don't even know I'm angry. I don't even know why I'm angry. I just am. And this message today, I'm somewhat an authority. No, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. But I have gone through the strains of anger. As most of you, a lot of you know, I had a diagnosis in 2017 of stage 4 bladder cancer. They removed my bladder and my prostate. When they did that, I didn't feel normal. There was a lot of issues when it took place. There was a lot of stress and a lot of anger, a whole lot of anger. And I'll actually interject right here. As we go through this message, I want to make it clear that there's times we cannot cope with our own anger. There's times where when the anger is so serious, so severe, we may have to reach out, get help. I actually had to do that. So I'm speaking strictly from experience. Now, let's turn over, brethren, to our first scripture. This is the first one we'll turn to, and it is Matthew 12. Matthew 12. And I'm going to start reading in verse 34. It says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give account for in the day of judgment." They will give account for in the day of judgment. Too many times, again, I find my mouth open, insert foot, and spew out anger. Too many times we say things just, again, subconsciously, it just comes out. Sometimes we don't have what some people call a filter. You know, you just say it. If you feel it, you say it. Brethren, that's not God's people. That's not what we do as God's people. You know, the next scripture here, Matthew 12, verse 37, is actually one of the key scriptures in this message today. And I want everybody to hear this and think about it as I read it. Verse 37, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And think about that. It's what we say. And anger comes from our mouth. It also comes from expressions on our face. We always need to be careful what we say and how we say it, especially when we're saying it out of anger. And we do speak out of anger. I know I'm not the only one. So what makes you angry? What makes anyone angry? What sets us off? I think everybody's got several pet peeves. I know I do. Things that just irritate me. Again, sitting in a doctor's office waiting for somebody to finally show up. Think about what makes you angry. And just kind of chomp on that for a while. What does anger do to us physically and mentally? What does anger do to us physically and mentally? And again, I think you might be surprised. Maybe not. I want to read some information I found on the internet. It's titled, "5 Ways Anger Affects Your Health." Five ways anger affects your health. Again, anger is destructive. It's destructive. And you can find this on the website everydayhealth.com. Everydayhealth.com has this this section. I want to start reading. Feeling intense and frequent anger, especially when it outsizes the trigger, can have consequences on your physical and mental well-being. Anger is not only an uncomfortable feeling, but spending too long being angry can have ill effects on your overall health. At its best, anger alerts us to danger and inspires action. Anger is an emotion. But anger is an emotion characterized by feeling antagonism towards someone or something that has wronged you. That's always the trigger, is somebody or something that has irritated you, that has angered you. That's where anger comes from. And this is according to the American Psychological Association, or the APA. When anger experiences are too frequent, too intense, lasts too long, or out of proportion with the triggering event, the emotion can have problematic effects on our well-being and our health. This is according to Dr. Raymond Taffret. He's a clinical professor at Central Connecticut State University in New Brighton. And he goes on to say, anger is part of the, and everybody's heard of this, fight, freeze, or flight response, in which our adrenal glands, we heard a little bit about dopamine when Mr. Bedos was speaking. Well, when you look at adrenaline and things, it's the opposite. It keys us up. It doesn't settle us down. It makes us anxious. We'll get into that here in just a minute. Again, anger is part of the fight, freeze, or flight response, in which the adrenal glands flood the body with stress hormones such as adrenaline and cortisol. We experience psychological effects like an increased heart rate and blood pressure rapidly pushing blood to the heart. The body is physically preparing to fight to defend itself or flee from danger. It's the same response when you're angry. Adrenaline is released. Now, most of us have heard, adrenaline junkies, right? Adrenaline is addictive, even though our bodies produce it. Adrenaline is something people crave. There are people that go out there and do some really nutty things to get that rush. Well, little did science know that every time we get angry, we get a little shot of adrenaline. We get a little shot of adrenaline. Does that settle us down? Does that make us want to kick back and be mellow? Don't think so. So I want to go into to the five ways. I'm going to kind of mix this through my message today, the five effects anger has on your health, the five effects. Now, the first effect anger has on our health is it stresses out the heart. And I think that's kind of obvious, but anger stresses out the heart. And I want to read the effects. There's several of them in here. Experiencing anger triggers the body to release stress hormones, which over time can take a toll on heart health. Research shows that anger, even momentary anger measured by changes in facial expression, that can really affect you, believe it or not. You don't have to yell and scream sometimes. Sometimes it's just those facial expressions, that look of disgust or disdain. It's anger, brethren. That's what it is. Okay, so let me start that sentence over again. Research shows that anger, even momentary anger measured by changes in facial expressions, result in changes in the heart that worsens the muscle's ability to pump blood, which can lead to high blood pressure and subsequent complications like heart disease, heart attack, stroke, and metabolic syndrome, where the chemicals in our own body go up and down, and they're kind of uncontrollable, where we're being pumped full of adrenaline, cortisol, these negative chemicals or drugs in our system, and we can't control it. And again, adrenaline is addictive. So let me continue. Research accordingly shows that people with higher anger, and this is really what I want to talk about, higher anger, those who tend to perceive situations as hostile, are less capable of controlling their hostile thoughts and feelings. And they're at greater risk of coronary heart disease. Another study found that higher trait anger was also linked to higher risk of death from coronary disease and complications. Anger also impacts people with arrhythmias, irregular heartbeats. This is according to Dr. Rachel Lambert, and she's the director of sports cardiology program at Yale Medical Center. So we've seen, or we've shown, continuing on, that if you're prone to having ventricular arrhythmias, now we all know what an arrhythmia is, where your heart beats irregularly, and sometimes it can be in the upper chamber, sometimes it's in the lower chamber. But what it says here, the odds of having one of these arrhythmias are higher during times when you're angry and stressed out. This is because adrenaline, and again, we're talking a little bit about this, which increases when you're angry, can cause electrical changes in your heart. So it affects your heart. And even the minute is just kind of ticked off angry versus the furious. And we'll get into the furious here in just a few minutes. So the second way, that was number one. The second way sounds a lot like the first. Anger increases risk of heart attacks. I think that's kind of obvious. Evidence also suggests that anger is specifically linked to higher risk of heart attacks. It says in a systematic review that looked at studies with a total of nearly 4,000 participants from more than 50 medical centers across the United States, researchers found more than a, listen to this number, twofold increase in heart attacks within 2 hours after an anger outburst, an association that was also found to be stronger with increasing intensity of anger. So the angrier you get, the worse it is for your whole body overall. This suggests that more intense anger is indeed worse for your heart. Now, let's turn over to James 1. James 1 is a wonderful, wonderful book of the Bible. I often turn there. James 1. James 1, I'm going to start reading. I'm only going to read two scriptures here. James 1, verse 19. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Oh, man's wrath does produce something. Does produce something. Now, I don't know if you want that something or not, but it produces stomach issues. So number three. Number three reason why anger affects your health. Anger can disrupt your digestion. Okay, I think that's kind of obvious. I'm kind of stating the obvious here, this article does. So as much research shows that the brain and gut are in constant communication and influence each other. One role of our autonomic nervous system, which regulates involuntary bodily processes, is to help regulate digestion. But this can be disrupted when the body goes into the fight or flight mode, as can happen in response to anger and to stress. Research also shows, for example, that stress can lead to unpleasant symptoms in the gastrointestinal tract, including abdominal pain, stomach upset, and diarrhea. And over the long term, chronic stress, if you can't shake it, if you're just stressed. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I think we've all known that angry person. And you know what I'm talking about. Now, Mark was talking about the people who had a real big influence on his life. Those are the people you want to associate with. You want to be around. What about that angry person, right? That angry person that never has a positive thing really to say about anything. I don't know about you, but I've known that person, and I really don't want to be around that person. I don't want to especially be that person. I want to be a positive person, somebody who shines light and love. Over the long term, chronic stress has been linked to the development of inflammatory bowel disease, IBD, inflammatory bowel syndrome, IBS, and gastroesophageal reflux disease, or GERD. Now, I want you to also think something. I don't know if this happens to you, but it happens to me. When I get keyed up, when I'm stressed out, I lose my appetite. I don't want to eat. I'll eat dinner later. I just want to sit here and chew on my anger. You know, I mean, that's what I do. It's sad. But there's times where you really have to shake yourself out of this, brethren. Proverbs 16, verse 32. I'm going to go through a few scriptures and Proverbs here. Now, again, you don't have to turn to these because they're just real quick, and I can read them from my notes, and you can jot them down. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Do we rule our own spirit, or do we have control over our own spirit? Do we? Are we slow to anger? Proverbs 29, verse 22. Says an angry man, and again, that's the man I was talking about. An angry man stirs up strife. Okay, let's take it up a notch. And a furious man abounds in transgressions. A furious man. Okay, that's not just angry. This is somebody out of control. A furious man, and they abound in transgression. That's when the anger turns into sin. It is just something you can't control. And you can't do that, brethren. We can't do that. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. We don't want to be broken down. We want to be able to rule over our own spirit. So let's continue here. And this is the fourth reason anger affects your health. Fourth reason, too much anger hinders mental health. Wow, I would never guessed. Being in a state of anger strains can take a toll, too, on mental health. Studies show that higher anger is often elevated in emotional disorders such as anxiety and depression, and is associated with both worse symptoms and a lesser response to treatment. Anger is not positive. Anger is negative. In all forms, anger is destructive. And this is something that you and I, and I'm talking to myself especially, we need to find ways to relax, to calm down, to look at the world for what it is and not become necessarily angry. Oh, we're going to have emotional keys. I guarantee that. But we can't stir ourselves up. We can't. It's out of hand. We just can't do that. So being in a state of anger can take. Okay, I just read that. Anger, especially prolonged anger, can also affect our concentration and thinking patterns. This is according to the APA, the American Psychological Association. It can make us more hostile or cynical, which can take its toll on our relationships and the ability to form bonds. All of this can certainly be damaging to our well-being or destructive to our well-being. Again, anger is very destructive. There's nothing truly redeeming. You know, we've heard the term righteous anger. It's still not positive. There's still an emotional key. There's a stress involved. It's not peaceful. So let's continue, and this is the last one. This is the fifth way anger affects your health. Anger can mess with your sleep. And I want to back up just a little bit to Ephesians 4, and you can turn there if you'd like. Ephesians 4, verse 26. It says something very familiar. In fact, we started off with a very, very similar scripture from Psalms. Ephesians 4, verse 26 says, "Be angry." So it's going to happen, brethren. We're going to get angry. We're going to get, but do not sin. Don't let it escalate to that level. That's what we can't do. "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." You know, I've always looked at that scripture as don't go to bed angry. And I think that's just a good process or a good habit to get into. If you're keyed up, if you're upset, if you're stressed out, especially if you're angry. Now, my wife and I, we've been married for 43 years, and we've gotten a little irritated with each other from time to time. But we've tried to make it a, you know, just the way we do things. We don't want to go to bed angry. We don't want to wake up with that same, that feeling, that sour feeling in our stomach, right? People who struggle to control their anger or feel angry more often have been shown to experience worse sleep. Other research suggests that feeling angry increases psychological arousal and mental unrest, which subsequently makes it more difficult to fall asleep. Wow. So if we're all keyed up before, and again, this is stress and anger. They're in the same category psychologically. They do the same things to us physically. It's not a good thing. So let's do just a real quick review here. And these are some of the takeaways from the five ways anger can affect your health. Anger isn't just a fleeting feeling. It affects your body and mind in very serious ways. Chronic anger can increase your risk of heart disease, disrupt digestion, and negatively impact mental health and sleep. Now, it says here, finding healthy ways to manage your anger can significantly improve your overall well-being. That's what it says. We need to find ways. Well, the Bible gives us a lot of clues about how to suppress our anger, how to control our anger. It also gives us some examples. What happens when we don't? What happens when we don't control our anger? There are consequences. Some of these consequences are really severe, and we'll get into that here in just a minute. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Need to take a sip. Says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." Your glory is to overlook a transgression. Slow to anger. How do we do that? How do we do that? Wow, that's a big question. What does it mean, and his glory is to overlook a transgression? When we hold on to things, brother, when somebody angers us, when somebody keys us off, just really, you know, gets our goat, we hold on to it, and we won't let it go. We just keep chewing on it. It's bitter and tastes nasty, but we just keep chewing on it. That's just the opposite of overlooking an offense. That's holding on to something tightly, and we can't do that. We have to let go of our angers, our stresses. Now, I'm sure I'm not the only one here or online that become offended sometimes way too often. Sometimes I'm offended, and I really don't know why, but they shouldn't have said that. Has that happened to you before? Happens to me, where I become offended. Well, what happens when you become offended? You want to retaliate. It's human nature. You want to retaliate when somebody has offended you, when somebody has done that. Let's turn over to Matthew 5. I'll read a couple scriptures here. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 21. Oops. Matthew 5, 21. Says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. I don't know what Raca is, but I know it doesn't sound good. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Brethren, do you hold on to grudges? Do I have a grudge against somebody? Do you have a grudge against somebody that you're holding on to? And if we are, we really need to keep listening to this message today because it's tearing you up. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So when we respond to somebody, we're having a conversation, discussing things. I know sometimes things can get heated, passionate, and we say things we shouldn't say. That's a harsh word. And what's it do? It stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. In verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. You know, when we say perverse things, when we say things that I will say out of character, it's not positive. It's anger. It's anger. And that's what anger is negative. Now, Colossians 3, and it's a very important chapter, Colossians is. Colossians 3. Just reading one scripture here. Colossians 3, 8 says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Are we putting all these things out of our life? Are we doing this? Are we actively trying to do it? When we wake up in the morning, we ask God to be with us throughout the day. Are we asking Him to give us a good attitude, a positive attitude, an attitude without anger, without stress, right? That's what we want. Are we putting these things on? Proverbs 14, verse 29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding. Well, I'm still not there yet. You know, I've got some understanding, but I'm not slow to anger. Sadly, there's times where I'm a little bit too quick. A little bit too quick. But he who is impulsive exalts folly. Are you and I slow to wrath? This is also a key scripture in this message today, and this is in Matthew 12. Matthew 12, I'll start reading in verse 14. Matthew 12, verse 14, says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Are we of the same mind? Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. You know, the people we associate on a regular basis actually kind of regulate our personalities to a certain degree. If we're around angry people, what are our tendencies going to be? Sometimes to be angry. Think about that. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And this is really important here, brethren. Verse 18, very important. As much as depends on you, as much as depends on me, live peaceably with all men. It says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head." It says, "Do not be overcome by evil." Do not be overcome by anger, but overcome evil or anger with good. We put anger out with love. We do that. We put anger out with love, with positive attitude, with that calming, the meek. We've heard that before, the meek. That's who God has called. Brethren, as God's people, we never retaliate. We never retaliate. That's what God didn't call us to retaliation. He didn't do that. He called us to submit. To submit. As God's people, we should all be forgiving. Now, I want everybody to think about this. Anger has always been there. It's been there way before you and I. It was here before this world. First, Satan became angry with God because he couldn't control everything. And so Satan was the first being to become angry, right? Genesis 6, or 4, verse 6 also talks about Cain. You know, this is the first event where a person in the Bible became angry, Cain. And we all know what happened there. Cain killed his brother Abel. Why did he do that? Because he was ate up with his anger. He was ate up. You know, anger has gotten to a lot of people in the Bible. And it's caused a lot of destruction. A lot of destruction. So let's turn over to the book of Numbers. Numbers 20. And we're going to spend a little bit of time there. Oh, come on, it was here. Numbers 20, verse 7. And this is Moses and his brother Aaron. Moses and his brother Aaron, right? And God's leading his people right now. In verse 7, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water forth, or water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So this is God's instructions to Moses and his brother Aaron. Okay, let's see what happens. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. So far, so good. Verse 10, "And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock." There's where things go south. "And he said to them, 'Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?'" What happened? What happened to Moses here? Sounds a little upset. He was very upset. Moses became angry and he lashed out. Verse 11, "Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice." Uh-oh, things just went south. Excuse me. "And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank." God still did what God was going to do. He took care of Israel at that point in time. But verse 12, there's some punishment involved here. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel,'" in other words, you got angry, "therefore you shall not bring the assembly into the land which I have given to them." So what were the consequences of becoming angry, becoming spontaneous? Not doing what God told him what to do, but doing what he felt like doing. He lashed out. He just hit that rock twice, didn't he? Wow. You got angry. It's another example. When you think about anger in the Bible, I don't know about you, but there are some angry people in the Bible. Now, what about Jonah? What about Jonah? And I think everybody's read the book of Jonah. They know the story. They know about the fish. And they know what Jonah's trying to do anything but what God told him to do, right? I mean, he was not going to submit. So let's go over to the book of Jonah. And we're going to actually read a little bit here, too. Book of Jonah. Now, we're going to read a little bit here because Jonah is interesting. He did not learn his lesson. He could not let go of his anger. He couldn't do it. What made him angry? Well, Jonah 3, verse 1. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, and this is after the fish, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." Verse 3. So Jonah arose, and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey in extent. That's a big place. Lots of people. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." So he's going through. He's finally doing what God told him to do. And what? 40 days. Uh-oh. Something happened, though. Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Uh-oh. This isn't what Jonah was expecting. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Now the word came to the king of Nineveh. Now word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily to God. Yes, let every one of them turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands." Wow. There's some positive things going on here, right? And Jonah's right in the middle of it. He's right in the middle. This is a great thing. I think all of us can agree. What Nineveh did is phenomenal. They turned around. Okay, next couple of verses are actually pretty incredible as well. Verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Verse 10, critical. I want you to hear this. Then God saw their works, that they had turned from evil, from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. He changed his mind. If anyone ever tells you God does not change his mind, they don't know what they're talking about. Right here, God changed his mind. He had every intent of overthrowing Nineveh. 40 days. It's going to happen then. Now, did this make Jonah happy? Did this make Jonah? No. This is where the trouble started, actually, for Jonah. Because you think about this. Jonah 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Why would you become angry? He can't shut it down. He was to the point where he knew Nineveh was a horrible city. He just wanted to see them destroyed, and he wasn't going to have any other way, was he? So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarsus, for I knew that you are a gracious God, or gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please," this is Jonah speaking. I want you to listen to this. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Have you ever been really eaten up with anger? Where it just you can't shut it off. Somebody has you so keyed up that you can't turn it off. It just festers. It festers. It's not healthy, brethren. It's not healthy physically, mentally, most importantly, spiritually. It can turn into sin like that. Verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life away. Let's go ahead and drop down to verse 4. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? And this is God speaking to Jonah. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade. See, Jonah's not quite done yet. Till he might see what would become of the city. And God, and the Lord God, prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. Uh-oh. He prepared a worm. And it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. Then he wished death upon himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Have you ever really been chewed up, eaten up? I think Jonah is one of the worst or one of the best, however you want to look at it, examples of being angry. Now, was there any just cause for Jonah's anger? I don't think so. I can't see any in here. I've read this many, many times. I think most of us have. Why did Jonah just, he couldn't let it go. He wanted to die. He wanted to die. That's how he felt about the whole situation. Jonah couldn't shake his anger, and it tore him up to the point where he wanted to die. Is this the way you and I feel when we get angry? Do we have trouble sometimes turning it off? If we do, and again, coming from experience, I recommend everybody be very careful if they go out looking for psychological help to control your anger. But I'll tell you right now, when you do your homework, and it can have substantial changes in your life. I'm an example of that. You know, Jesus Christ himself, now there are examples of Christ becoming angry. Wow. You know, we know, in fact, John 2, verse 13, and Jesus Christ wasn't happy, to say the least. Yeah, I mean, I would say, as a matter of fact, Jesus Christ was pretty well angry over this situation. Verse 13 of John 2. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. Verse 15. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers, money, and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold dove, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then the disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Jesus Christ became angry. This is a great example. Now his anger was justifiable. I don't recommend that any of us go out and try to do what Jesus Christ did. I really don't think it would benefit anyone in that regard. Another example of Jesus Christ becoming angry was on the Sabbath. And it had to do with healing on the Sabbath. And he got angry, but I think it was a little more than an expression. Mark 3, verse 5. And again, this was when on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees were ridiculing Christ. Verse 5, and when he had looked around at them with anger, and this is Christ, being grieved by the hardness of their heart, he said to them, said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand, and it was restored as whole as the other. So Jesus Christ still healed. Yes, he was angry. His countenance, you know, he had an angry look on his face. But brethren, as I start wrapping this up, I want us all to really consider how destructive anger is. There is no redeeming value whatsoever. When God the Father became angry, what did he do? When he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it's destruction. When God became angry with the world, what did he do? He flooded the earth. God became angry. Anger has no redeeming values. It truly doesn't. God's anger, as righteous as it may be, is still destructive. Man's anger, it chews us up inside. It chews us up inside. It destroys us physically, mentally, sadly, spiritually. We've all seen what happened to Moses and Aaron. I mean, what were the consequences of Moses becoming angry? What were the consequences? They didn't make it into the promised land. One whole generation, right? We don't want to be eaten up like Jonah was eaten up with his anger. He couldn't let it loose. He wanted to die because he just couldn't let go of his anger. So I want to conclude by going back to, and we've been there once before, and that's Colossians 3. Now, I want to read in verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Starting in verse 12, I should say. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, that's you and me, brethren, that's all of us, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. It says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Are we forgiving each other? If we've got any issues against anyone else, are we to overlook an offense? Are we doing that? Are we forgiving? What are we doing? Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against him, against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also maybe should do. No, you must do it. We've got to do this. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace, as Mark was talking about in his sermonette, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body. And what? Be thankful. Be thankful, brethren. That's what we should be doing, is being thankful. We have got to let go of our anger. We've got to be nicer people. In this world, it's so easy to be angry all the time. It really is. There are people that have a problem. They just aren't happy. Everything you talk to them about is negative. It's not who we are. We're God's people. We're called out. We should be slow to anger. Brethren, have a wonderful Sabbath.